As we learned yesterday, Eliezer's prayers were answered with remarkable haste. Even before he concluded praying, he already got the answer he was looking for. Rivka shows up, and she plays her part to the T. Everything Eliezer asks for, Rivka responds affirmatively, as he had hoped, and he already gives her gifts, and she invites him home, and he meets the family. Not such nice people. Lovin comes out, and he's impressed with the money, with the wealth, the affluence, and he's ready to deal because, like, you know, there's money to be made here. And they set food on the tables, and Eliezer says, no, I can't. Loi oichal, I cannot eat ad im dibarti dvore. I need first to speak my words. Vayomer and Lavan, insolently displacing his father, he says, daber, go ahead. And this is where we're going to pick it up this morning. Chapter 24, verse 34. Vayomer Eved Avraham Anochi. And so Eliezer begins. He does not say, my name is Eliezer. He does not say that I am the CEO of the Abrahamic Incorporated companies. He does not say that I am a world-famous lecturer who is Doyle Miteiras Rabbi, who has been giving the instructions and showing people the way as per the inspiration and guidance and Torah of Avraham. He doesn't say any of that. He does not make the case very well. In fact, he says, I am just a servant. And the obvious question is, why would he do that? He's shooting himself in the foot. Wouldn't the wise thing first to make your case? It's a little known secret that if you're a lousy speaker, you should never get up by saying, I am a lousy speaker. Why would you say that? It happens oftentimes when people have to speak at a wedding or whatever. They get, I'm not really a speaker. I can't really speak. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of crowds. Mm-hmm. Don't tell everybody. They're not listening already. Mm-hmm. So why would Eliezer begin by making a case as to why they shouldn't listen to him? So the Psikta Zutrusa says, that's because they had no idea who Avraham was. They knew there was this cousin Avraham who had left decades earlier, gone off to the land, a distant land. They heard he became very wealthy. He was very successful. And now some guy shows up. He doesn't look good. Very impressive looking guy. He's got the bucks. He's got the cash. Cash and the flash. Looks good. So they thought, oh, this must be Avraham. So he said, no, Pies. I'm not Avraham. I'm Avraham's servant. I'm representing Avraham. I'm not Avraham. The Radak says that a person who has a deficiency would never want to tell everybody about his deficiency before he starts. Like I said, lousy speaker. Don't tell everybody you're a lousy speaker. They're not going to listen to you. Already you're barely listening. So why did he do this? So the Radak says like this. When you have a deficiency, sometimes you want to put that out there right in the beginning. So nobody comes later and says, you're just a servant. We thought that you're like a partner with Avraham, somebody important. You're just a servant. We're not sure we want to deal with you. So Eliezer said, look, let me be very transparent here. Let me tell you why you won't want to deal with me to begin with. And therefore he has no concern, no fear that maybe later on things are going to unravel. Does it make sense to you?
Well, it still doesn't make sense that that's important enough to be...
You want to put it out there right in the beginning. Eliezer is showing us how he was really dedicated to Avraham, and he marshaled all of his own wherewithal and his own creativity and his own strategy to figure out how to be successful. And it teaches us a lesson. Hashem doesn't tell us in his Torah always exactly what to do. We don't get exact instructions. We have 613 mitzvahs. We have a general rubric in which you're supposed to operate. As b'chol derech hachodeh, you got to figure this out. You got a mission. You got a calling. You got a job? Figure it out. Make it happen. So Eliezer had to figure it out. And he says, they will easily abrogate my words, and they're not going to make a deal with me. So therefore he says, I'm going to put this out there before you even start. He says, I am Eved Avraham. However, another thing the Pekhader says, that Eliezer cut a very, very impressive figure. And he made a huge impact. Everybody was talking. This was like a big deal. Eliezer said, "You're impressed with me? I'm just his servant." "You have no idea," he says. "Do you imagine who Avraham is? I'm just a servant." Anyway, these are some of the explanations that our rabbis give as to why Eliezer would start off by saying, "Eved Avraham Anochi." And now he makes the case, "Vashem Berech Es Adoni Me'oid," God has blessed my master exceedingly. "Vayigdol," he has magnified and made his position very great. "Vayiten Leitzoin Uvokar," "Vachesef Ezov," he's given him sheep and cattle. He's given him silver and gold. "Va'avodim Ushvaches," he's given him all kinds of servants and maidservants, "Ugmalim," "Vachamoidim," camels and donkeys. So this is the residuals of the day. You name it, he's got it. Now, a little funny question here is, if Eliezer is trying to impress Besuel, and he's trying to impress Lavan and Rivka's family, so everything should be said in the most exceptional way. But interestingly, the word avadim is misspelled. Not mamish, misspelled. It's chaser. It's written without a yud. So why would it be written without the yud? And that's because, says the Rekeach, Eliezer wanted to tell them that Avraham Avinu is very selective. Even the servants in the house, if they don't have Yirah Shemayim, if they don't have reverence, they don't have the right ideas, out, send them away. You don't have the right ideas, you don't stay in Avraham's house. You have to have a love and a loyalty for what was moral and what was right and what was good if you want to be part of Avraham's house. And this is going to make it all the more the point that the fact that he's interested in bringing Rivka doesn't just find the first girl or just, she's a pretty girl, let's take her home. Everything was very, very exact, very, very high standards. Verse 36, Vateled Sarah Eishas Adoni Ben Ladoni. Sarah, who was the wife of my master, bore him a son, Acharei Ziknasa, after many, many years of waiting, when she was already in advanced age. Vayiten lo yeskol asher lo, and he has given him everything that is his. How would you prove that? So here, Rashi tells us, there was a show and tell. Not only did he tell them this, but shtar matana hedo lehem. At this point, he took out the document, and incidentally, he showed them the document was dated that very day. We'll soon see that he talks about time travel. That will be the focus of today. Eliezer's time travel and how he got there so quickly. At any rate, why does he have to emphasize acharei ziknasa, that Yitzchak was born from a mother who already could have been his grandmother? So the Chizkuni says he wanted to emphasize that Yitzchak would be the only heir. There were no more babies coming. The fact that he was born was a miracle in and of itself. No more children were coming. That was it. And the Sefarno says he wanted to emphasize how much Avraham loved Yitzchak, how cherished he was. So cherished. Isaac Nasa, wait all these years. Finally, a baby's born. Vayashbiyeni Adoini Leimer. My master administered a severe oath. And he said, do not take a wife, Livni, from my son of Bnei Saknani, from the daughters of the Canaanite, Asher Anochi Yeshev Ba'artzei, amongst whom I am presently dwelling in their land. That's not the way it's going to be. But, Im loy al beis avi telech, if you don't go first to my father's home, vel mishpachti, to my family, vel akachta ish lovni, and then you'll take a daughter, a wife for my son. Lesikach isha livni mibnei saknani, you will not take from amongst the Canaanites. So, in that case, Eliezer basically is revealing his weakness. He has no chance. There is no other options. So Rashi says, Im loy telech tchila al beis avi. First, I have to go to my father's home. If I go first to my father's home and I make the effort that it doesn't work, okay, then it's a different story. If leisaiva lalecha sacharecha, Avram said, if she refuses to go with you, if it doesn't work from Aram Narayim, okay, then we'll reconsider. So he says, I came here first. And the interesting thing here is Avram Avinu never said, El beis avi vel mishpachti. Eliezer added these words. Why did he add those words? So Rabbeinu Meyucha says, he added these words so they won't come and say, what, he's so picky. He rejected everybody. Nobody's good enough for me. He had to come all the way to Aram Narayim. So Rabbeinu Meyucha says, yeah, he wanted to emphasize that there was a very specific background he was looking for. Very specific. He wanted to back home to his family. Whereas the Abarbanel says he wanted these people to think that Avraham had them in mind. It should feel very important. And if you feel important, maybe they'll agree. Because really, this is a long shot. He's coming in. Nobody never was heard of before. Nobody ever saw him before. Nobody knows who he is. It's like, hey, give me a daughter. Who just gives away the daughter? They're never going to see her again. They never do see her again. There's no FaceTime. There's no email. There's no phone conversations. That's it. Maybe a few letters. So this is a big deal. And so Eliezer is making as strong a case as possible. I said to my master, maybe she won't come. I mean, like, you're sending me on this mission. So Rashi says, it doesn't say Ulai. If you look at the Torah, it says Aleph Lamed Yud, which does not stand for Ulai, maybe, but Rabbi Eli. Eli Ksiv. Eli means to me. And here Rashi tells us something unbelievable. Bas Haiseloi Eliezer. Eliezer actually had a daughter. And he was desperate to marry his daughter off to Yitzchak. He was finding all kinds of excuses to maybe we should introduce, maybe my daughter could date your son, maybe, you know. Until Avraham Avinu said, I'm still like this. Lifnes a love lahasia bite. Till Avraham would, you know, kind of agree, maybe, to entertain this idea. So Avraham Avinu finally sets the record straight. He says, listen, Amar Avraham, Bani Baruch, my son is blessed. He has received the blessings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'ata Arur, but you got the opposite of blessings, because Eliezer was from, he was a Canaanite. He was from the children of Chum, from Canaan. And he says, Ein Arur Medabek V'Baruch, it's not going to work. The genetics won't work here. He needs blessings. He's got to become develop a Jewish family, and it's not who you are. It's not what your background is. You're a wonderful guy, Eliezer. It's not going to work. Imagine Eliezer gets such a shot of cold water over the head, and still absolutely loyal to Avraham. This is all in Eliezer's credit. And he wants them to know that. He says, it's not like a, no, you can't find a shidduch for this guy. Everybody wants to marry Yitzchak. I wish I could make a shidduch. He doesn't want. He wants only his family. Avraham said, That God, the God who has gone before me, Yishlach Malachi Itach, he'll send his angels, Ve'etzliach Darkecha, you'll succeed in your way, V'lokachta Ishil Levni Mimishpachti, you will find a woman, you'll find a wife from my family and from my father's home, and you'll bring her home. And then at that point, Oz Tinochim Elasi, then you'll be free of the promise, of the oath. Kisavi El Mishpachti, because you came to my family. And if they will not allow, they won't give you, then you'll be clean, exempt from the oath that you made. So that's Eliezer says, this is the background. Now let's what, so what happened? And he says, in view of all this, today I show up at the well. And I said, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, the Lord God, the master of my master Avraham, Im Yeshchano Matzliach Darki, will you make my way successful? If only you'll make my way successful, that I'm going. And Eliezer begins to tell them the whole story. And he says, here I was. And I said that the girl that will come out and that she will give water to myself and to the animals and so on and so forth. And Teremach Aladaber, before I speak, already, Vihine Rivki Itzas. And he repeats the whole story. Rashi says, "Va'ava hayoyim, hayoyim, hayoyim yotzasi." He says, "I left home today, and hayoyim basi, and today I arrived." Mikan. From here, we can understand shekafta lehaderetz, that the earth had sprung for him, a wrinkle in the earth. Here he was over here. Here you were over there, and somehow, all of a sudden, he walked off one part of the earth, and the earth came. The other earth sprang towards him, and here I am. Rashi goes on to talk about the fact that Eliezer repeats the whole story now, and this is indicative of how important an event this is, and that Yafa Sichason Shal Avdei Aves Lefnei Amakim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes even the talk of the servants of the patriarchs, of the fathers, even more so than the Torah of the children. At any rate, Eliezer says, beam me up, Scotty. I got it today. This is like an 11-day journey, like this. Miracle. What's he telling this one? What's the relevance of that? Like I said, he showed them the date of the document. He promised it wasn't post-dated. He said, "This is I just came today." So we're going to analyze this time travel of Eliezer. This is the world's first documented time travel. That does not mean that we can figure this out scientifically. This is in the realm of the miraculous and the paranormal. However, here we are on page Reish Ayin Tes in the Biurim book, Simen Chav Zayim. And we're going to try to understand why it was that Eliezer required this miraculous journey that really kind of is off the charts. Yesh Lishal, the Rebbe says we could ask two questions. Number one, Hare Yadua, there is a rule, widely known rule. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eisa Nisim Levatala. God doesn't do miracles, well, just like that. If there is a miracle, there's a good reason for it. So, what was the reason for this miracle? So kfitzas haderech. What was the rush? And if a miracle wouldn't happen, who would know the difference? If Eliezer showed up a few days later, who would be missing anything? Rabbeinu Nissim explains that Hashem cherishes nature. He created nature and he cherishes nature. He doesn't just break nature for no reason. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to suspend the rules of nature, there has to be a good reason for it. So that's question one. Question two, L'shem ma sipre Eliezer al nezel b'sur l'lovan. Why is he telling about this miracle to these cutthroats who don't really care? Eliezer is talking to people who do not have the monotheistic values of Avraham Avinu. They do not believe in God necessarily. They are not righteous people. Lavan is a thief, we know that. He's literally a cutthroat, dishonest to the core. He has no values in life. Even if they'll believe him. So, okay, fine. So a miracle happened. What are you trying to tell us? Are you trying to impress us? Are you trying to convert us? What does this have to do with the story? The story is that I came and I prayed and God answered my prayers and here's this wonderful young lady and that's it. Let's make this happen. And if you came 11 days later? L'may naf kamina. How does that change anything? So the Rebbe answers this with a beautiful metaphor and a medrash that's found in Shir HaShirim. Al Rivka beis Besuel nemar ha-pasek. It was about Rivka in the house of Besuel that the verse in Shir HaShirim, in the beginning of the second chapter, says, Kishoshana bein ha-choichim. Like a rose amongst the thorns. Why is Rivka likened to a rose amongst the thorns? And the explanation of the medrash is, just like roses grow amongst thorns, that's where roses grow. The thorns are made to impede the taking of the roses, that it shouldn't be easy to take the roses. And this is the way Hashem endowed the rose bush with natural protection, because the rose is a beautiful flower, and it's very easy then for the rose bush to be decimated. So Hashem gives the rose bush protection. Namely, it's got thorns and thistles. And because of that, you don't get roses easily. You have to cut them with care or you get punctured, you get stuck. Mishum, shebizuchus hazeichim afheim lahashkoyo letipuach. The thorns understand that if they lose their roses, nobody waters thorns. Thorns don't get much attention from anybody. If they're watering the bush, it's not for the thorns, it's for the roses. So if the roses let go of the thorns, that's basically a death wish. The thorns won't receive any more care. So too, the Medrash says, so God lo Rivka tzadeke es ben erashoyim. Rivka, the righteous, was growing up amongst the profoundly wicked. V'heim lahayim anichem lahaytzi mibineyem l'tayna tokfa mitzadekas. They weren't going to let go of Rivka so fast. Because Rivka was their key to blessing. They understood that. They know that God is good, and God gives goodness life. They knew they were not good. But in order to make sure we keep getting the blessings, we need to hold on to Rivka. She was the golden goose. She's laying the eggs, so to speak. She was the one who was going to guarantee them that they got continued blessings from God. V'lochein, therefore. That's why our sages tell us, Before Rivka was 3 years old, I know it sounds very odd to us, but in those days, 3 years old was a grown-up girl, because if you look at the conversation that Rivka holds, she's not a child. This is a grown-up. People grew up very, very quickly. People were already walking and talking after a few months old. And by the time they were three, they were like a teenager. So Rivka was already grown up. And before Rivka was grown up, Avram couldn't do anything about getting her out of there. Evacuation could not be considered until she was three. The forces of impurity, the extraneous dark forces, would never let this incredible tzaddikus out so quickly. It was only after 3 years. Now Rivka is ready to move on in life. So Avraham Avinu knew about the birth of Rivka from the time of the Akedah, but he couldn't act. He waited 3 full years to act. And only 3 years later, when now Rivka is ready to move on, now, that suddenly it became possible to consider the possibility of extricating Rivka from that very, very negative and toxic background.
But was there a reason for three being the special year?
I mean, api halacha, three is like a minimum age of maturity, but in antiquity, three was like, I guess, like a teenager. So here, now that it's possible, rak oz yachal hoy Avram l'shleiches Eliezer le'a. Eliezer cannot be appointed as the messenger, he can't be given the mission until Rivka is already three, until things are prepared. In other words, you have to get past that threshold. Okay, so now that Rivka is already three, and now we're ready to move forward, Avraham Avinu calls Eliezer and says, okay, now you need to go. Yachadim Zeis, along with this delay, Mirega Shanitzaha F Sharas Lahitzias Rivka, from the moment it was possible to extricate Rivka and Beis Besuol, then Rivka had to be extricated immediately because she was in danger every single moment. She didn't have to remain amongst the wicked even for one more moment. And therefore the Rebbe suggests, Yido Le Eliezer Neis Kfitzes HaDerech. That's why a miracle happened. So Rivka shouldn't have to suffer any more moral deprivation, any more lack of wholesome spiritual environment for even an extra moment. So that Eliezer should be able to extricate Rivka immediately. Now we answered the first question. Now we know why God made the miracle. And why is Eliezer telling Besuel about this? Does he expect Lavan to be impressed with this? Listen, Lavan, you're kind of dark energy. You kind of represent the Klipa. I have to get Rivka away from you because you might have an influence on her because you're a lousy guy and she's a tzaddikus. What, like, you expect Lavan to say, oh yeah, I'm a pretty lousy guy. And Besuel said, yeah, I'm terrible. We should let you take Rivka. Why is he telling her about this then? So the Rebbe says, he knew they would try to put roadblocks to impede the progress. He knew he wouldn't let Rivka go easily. Delay. You know, we're going to start delaying tactics. He knew that was going to happen. And by the way, they did. It's exactly what they did. As soon as they said, Eliezer said, we're ready to go, they said, well, Teshav Anayri Tana Yomim, I Aser, maybe she should stay a few months, maybe a few years. We understand it's a good idea, but not so fast. So because Eliezer anticipated this, Sipra Lem Eliezer al Neskfitza Derech Shirulei. Eliezer told them about the miracle journey, about how quickly he had arrived. And the reason he was trying to impress them with his time travel is, he said, you see how important this is? My master Avraham Avinu, he's in touch with God himself. And God himself is part of this mission. I had God's angels. They came to make sure I succeed. I got here today. I left this morning. I'm here this afternoon. This is a really big deal. We can't even wait an extra day. We need to do this now. Even so, they try to delay. Until Rivka is the one who pipes up and says, no, 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 I'm ready to go. And that's the story of how Rivka Imenu leaves behind a house of wickedness and evil moves into a house of holiness, righteousness, kindness, and goodness, taking the place of Sarai Imenu and establishing the second generation of the patriarchs and the foundation of the nascent nation of Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special chosen children. And that's what they say. The rest is history. How convincing.